Hi, welcome back. Chapter 6, Project Monitoring and Control. We like the things to be in control. The electricity coming at our house is controlled. The traffic on the road is controlled. Basically, you are being controlled from your boss. You are being controlled from your professor. Controlling, very important. Why do you think controlling is necessary? Controlling is necessary because if you don't control, sometimes things go overboard, sometimes things go out of the control, and you may end up running into the trouble. Project monitoring and control is again alluding to the same fact. If you really don't have the necessary control and checks and balances, you may trouble some of the processes, some of the outcomes, some of the business benefits while implementing the project. Let's have some bit of an understanding on what exactly the monitoring means, how the controlling should look like, what is the role of a project manager per se in this entire controlling game. Too much of a control is also a problem. We are living in the bureaucratic world. We don't want the things to be very tightly controlled. Loosen up the control or loosening up the control is also required at various stages of the project. That's why the role of a project manager plays a very big role here. It is indeed a continuous process in every phase of a project. You need to control, you need to navigate your ship because you, as a project manager, are the captain of the ship. Little bit more introduction piece is how we are aware already is if you don't control, you may end up running into the delay of the project. You may miss out on some of the critical elements if you are not monitoring all the checks and balances as and when it comes or as and when it requires. If you are effectively controlling and effectively monitoring, you are actually anticipating the further delays, further risk, which may come or which may affect your project down the line, the chain. Control is again, as I mentioned, it is something more on the continuous process rather than the one-time project. It is irrelevant that it is smaller project or larger project, depending on the need or the criticality of the project, you need to have the required monitoring and controlling practices. Your controlling also somewhere helps you in gauging the outcome of your project. You don't want your commitment to fail, which you have already committed during your project scoping or during your project charter. And that's why the necessary supervision is indeed required so that we have or we are ensuring our senior leadership that we are on check on time, on the cost, on the budget, and on the quality of the entire project. If you talk about the project controlling and monitoring definition as per Project Management Book of Knowledge, it says, and I will just read out as is, that monitoring and controlling consist of those processes required to track, review, and orchestrate the process or the progress and the performance of a project, identify any areas in which the changes to the plan are required, and initiate the corresponding changes. You may have to, so it's like if you are sailing a ship and if you are a captain, if you see the rock there, you obviously have to change the course of your ship because ultimately it is your responsibility to ensure that the goods or the material or the passengers on your ship is reaching to their desired destination safely. Some of the elements of the project monitoring and control we are going to touch base on in the further slides. Remember, our endeavor to control the project is not to have over control or not to have a bossy culture in the entire chain. The idea is to just have the proper quality to be ensured. Now let's talk about some of the elements which you really need to monitor and control. Project work. Remember the some of the deliverable of the project which you decide at the beginning. some of the budgets which you decide in the beginning, some of the probably rough estimate of the resources you decide during the initial phase of your project, and on last but not the least, the end user satisfaction or the customer satisfaction, which you really need to monitor. So we all know that if you can term the project as successful only if it is something which is a differentiator. Remember that you are creating new, something new which was not there as a part of the project. Remember the very first chapter where we spoke about the definition of the project per se? There is something new you are creating. And that's why you also need to ensure or ensure that you are really a differentiator among your competitors. Now, as a project manager, and we are aware about the responsibilities of the project manager anyways, but as a project manager, it is very important that he or she is monitoring the bare minimum necessity tasks during the project, which we call as a critical path. Now, we all know by now that if the critical path action items are derailed, it may have an overall impact onto your project delivery. Now, when I say overall project delivery, it could be a quality, it could be anything. Your work performance report or the regular reports sent out to the steering committee or to the necessary stakeholder onto your project helps you in getting the suggestions from the fellow team members that, hey, what can be done if you really want to come back onto the course. Your project manager has or generally follows the responsibilities to ensure that it is going as per the direction. It is going as per the suggested path. And that's why it is necessary for him or her to validate the scope and the deliverables of the project. Have a minimum baseline standards to be set up. Depending on the virtue of the knowledge the project manager has, they can refer to the older or the previous projects and can have the minimum baseline criteria for your project also. Scope changes would be a little bit of a trouble because we all know that if there is a minute amount of a scope change, then it may have the larger impact on the overall delivery of the project. And that's why you have to spend a lot of time in your planning of the scope. Maybe preparing the requirement for proposal or RFP document or RFQ document, where you are actually calling out all the required deliverables you want to achieve. Any scope change will not be really appreciated. Now, it doesn't mean that you do not have a legroom to change the scope. Take an example. You had initially planned for implementing 5 modules in an SAP. During the process of the project, you realized that maybe it will be a good idea or it will be a business benefit if you also add another 6th module into the implementation. Now, if it is a business benefit and if it is required to change scope, makes sense. But remember that needs to be factored, that needs to be communicated, that needs to be also driven by your partner, because there may be a chances that there may be a cost escalation there. It may impact the overall timeline. It is also important that maybe the module which you have decided that needs to be fit in into the sequence which was agreed before. And maybe because of that, you have to change the complete sequence of your other module or other tasks. But before you do all that, before you really reach to that stage, it is essential that you do the analysis, you do the variance analysis to see that what if. It's always a big question you need to answer. And that's why monitoring a scope and the validation of a scope holds a lot more relevance. Now, many a time, you may be an owner and you also may be a project manager. Many a times, you may be just helping the other owner to drive their project. Now, if that is the case or if that is a situation, you cannot agree onto the scope or you cannot approve the scope by yourself. You have to have a buy-in, you have to have an approval from the required owner that, hey, just validate if there's anything which is missing out. Scope monitoring and controlling basically would necessarily have these many documents, and all these documents are generally arrested as a part of your stage gate reviews. Stage gate reviews is one of the very common terminology which is being used in the project management practices. Any of the project management certification like PMI or PMP or whatever you may do it, or PRINCE for that matter, you do it, the stage gate review is a very commonly used term. Now, the term is necessarily ensuring that these are the bare minimum document requirement or the justification requirement or the diagrams or whatever it is you need to have before you move to the next gate. Some of the document as far as the scope is concerned are called out here. The scope statement, obviously the detailed scope you need to have in case there is a change required during the course of the project, what exactly the procedure is. What do you or how do you trace the complete chain of the work? What are the performance reports? What are the frequency of the reports? Because remember that if you are onboarding an external partner and if you are demanding the every day or every week report or a meeting or status review, they are going to add that particular additional hour during their work, which means it might also have some of the additional impact onto your cost. Moving further on monitoring the other element, which is the cost, a very, very important element, because these days every organizations are concerned about the working capital. They don't want anything which was approved before for X amount and there is a price escalation beyond some numbers. Take your own example. You thought of purchasing a house and you had a deal with the agent or the builder for say 100 rupees. Now what if you go back to the same builder after a week and the builder says, no, I think there is an enhancement which we did and now the price is 1.5x, which is 150. You may not really appreciate it because you obviously have backtracked, worked backwards and assumed and arranged those 100 bucks which was committed before. That's why there are four major processes involved in the cost control. How do you plan the cost management? And when you say cost management, it is also a spend management included into it. How do you estimate? You may have an estimate saying that, okay, I will probably start the project in the month of April, which is fine, but you are actually estimating the project cost in the month of December. Now, naturally, if you are asking the quotations from the partner in the month of December, there may be the chances that by the time you are actually going to kickstart the project, you might have some escalation. Now, you need to factor that 10% or 15% of could be an escalation point into your budgeting whenever you are factoring in the month of December. This is very common, especially with an IT infrastructural equipment purchase, because and this was very, very evident in this COVID era. Because there were supply chain constraints and even the OEMs or even the original equipment manufacturers were completely not aware or they were not able to envisage the costing. Determine the budget and obviously controlling the cost. The other pillar is the quality. Remember the customer satisfaction, remember the commitment of the quality which we have given to the customers or to our own internal staff. If the quality has been agreed at the beginning, now the quality is really a kind of a qualitative term, if I may have to say. For example, if you are going to host a website, and if you have mentioned in your requirement document saying that I want the latency a flat latency, not more than 20 milliseconds. And because you have a global presence, because someone is accessing your same very website from China, someone is accessing website from the other part of the world, maybe US, there may be a huge latency differences into that access. Now, what could be a position where you would have that setup of your website. You cannot host in China. You cannot probably host in US. Maybe it will be a good idea to host somewhere in UAE or in the Gulf country, or maybe somewhere in India, or maybe somewhere in Europe, so that the latencies are getting balanced. That is the quality I'm talking about. That is really a relative term. You need to have that factored as a part of your monitoring KPIs. And the regular reviews is generally performed as a part of your monitoring and control mechanism. Now, during this particular implementation of the taking back the same example of the website development or a hosting of the website development, if there is a change in the latency which is observed, maybe you envisage that if you host in somewhere in Europe, probably you will have a better latency output, but that may really not be the case during the course of your testing phase. How about accommodating the change? Can we take a corrective action there to ensure that we are coming back onto the original quality commitment which we have given? Now, if this is documented very well, then obviously you may also have an edge to replicate such instances in any other future project developments. And hence, you are going to save yourself some of the amount of time there. The ultimate endeavor is to deliver the quality which was committed, and hence the monitoring and control is necessary. Communication processes. I had mentioned it before, and I will be mentioning in our previous slides, in our future slides also, that communication or the right communication is really a key of NR. I gave you an example of having a communication gap within the family. That's why it is always essential to have a right communication across all the levels. You cannot probably sometimes discount some of the team members who are actually working on ground. And maybe everything is also not required to be communicated to the people working on the ground. That may be a level of communication which should go only to the senior leadership. Because again, too much of communication and too less of a communication can also be a problem. But remember, communicating the sponsor or a right communication to the sponsor is very important, because they are the one who have approved your project. And to have this communication seamless, or to have continuous monitoring of the communication, have the recurring meeting setup, have the regular reminder setup. If it is a tool-based monitoring and communication, always is of benefit, because in the tool, if it is configured once, then you are completely without any tensions. Effective communication helps, and transparent communication helps in building the trust. Believe me, it's an experience I am talking about, that if you are committing and if you are communicating that, hey, this is what I am going to deliver, or hey, I have come across some of the eventualities and I may be delayed by 2 months. If you have communicated in well in advance with a justification reason, no problem. But if you really don't communicate, then it should be a problem. And hence, it is essential that your communication is very, very clear, very, very crisp, very concise, and up to the mark. Keep in mind that the global audience you may be dealing with, and usage of right verbiage, right statement is of very importance. Now, some aspects which aid to the communication processes is as listed out here. You may would like to control the right communication channel. Maybe there's a distribution group which has been created, and if there is addition or a removal of a people, maybe you can monitor as a part of your monitoring and control practices. Maybe some of the colleagues are updating the unrealistic timelines, and maybe you want to check, and maybe you want to coach that it may not really be possible. Again, have a collaborative approach there. And it is also important to have a SPOC. You might have heard about single point of contact, SPOC, because as a project manager or as a technical person, you don't really want to talk to multiple people, and multiple people don't really want to talk to another multiple people, and you don't want to really include the chaos in the communication. Have a single point of communication person, so that you have everything is coordinated seamlessly without any issues. Now, change management. As we discussed in the previous sessions, that change is inevitable. Change is here to stay. And your project might also undergo a change. But is the change happening in a controlled way? If the change requested is really worth changing, if the change is made aware to everybody, if the change is planned as it's supposed to be. If it is not, then obviously you may would like to reject those changes. But again, if it is for a corrective action, if it is for some betterment of the overall project delivery, then it makes sense to change the course if it is well within budget, well within quality, and with an necessary approval. Risks are everywhere. Today, if you are traveling, if you have stepped out of your house, or even if you remain into your house, your risk would still remain with you. You may never know sometimes that what risk you may come across during your travel today. Similar to that, you have the risk or various risk into the project also, in irrespective of any project which you may take. Life is not easy as always. Adequate risk management is a key to manage your all the anticipated and unanticipated risk. Sometimes you may not be aware and you may not have a mitigation steps. You may have to consult somebody or you may have to additionally invest in something because those risks were not envisaged. Those risks were not being made aware, or maybe you did not have a skill to anticipate those risks. But wherever the risk is, or once the risks are identified, ensure that you have the mitigation planning across, and again have some workaround, some buffer, some communication, some legroom for having from acceptance of the unexpected risks. And hence, you need to have the risk monitoring and control practices. Imagine that there is there is an express road which is being made between Mumbai and Pune, or maybe a hyperloop which is being created between Mumbai and Pune. What could be a risk? Maybe environmental risk is something which you have already envisaged. Maybe the country which is supporting you is entering into a war, and they may stop your funding. They may stop the technology. They may do something else, which may be also a risk, which is probably not anticipated by you. You can't really predict what is going to happen after 2 years, especially when there's a situation like this. However, do you have the contingency plan? What if is again a question you need to ask. It will be worth to capture as a part of the risk. If the risk is really getting activated, you have a mitigation plan already discussed, agreed, and you can just implement it. If it is not, then probably you have to work around, discuss, and then take the necessary action. Always important is you have the right of the right solution. You cannot be pessimistic, you cannot be too much of an optimistic, and you cannot keep on spending too much of a time in identification and managing the risk. Right amount of time is very important, but at the same time, you cannot even ignore the risk, because remember, if you ignore the risk, if you are not communicating the risk, you may not have a necessary the prestigious face to be shown to your senior leadership. It's important to have the risk review regularly, and that's why you have something called as a risk register. So project related risk you also need to capture, and you need to be up on toes, specifically on the timelines, or specifically any showstoppers if you think that risk is going to have. For example, you may be moving on to the cloud, and as a necessary framework, you need to have the privilege, identity, and access management before you throw up the resources onto the cloud. Now, if that is the requirement there, and if you do not have the privilege, identity, and access management solution in place, then you are running on the risk. And imagine if that is getting delayed, and if you do not have a compensating control there, then naturally your overall digitization journey is going to be affected. Very important to periodically review it. And we all know by now that what is really the outcome of the monitoring and controlling is that you are kind of communicating, documenting any risk, even after having a control. If there are still some risks left, which is called as residual risk, you are still capturing them and you are aware that these are going to be the residual risk. For example, if you are into a payroll company and if you are doing some project there, and if the person is working from your office, you are mitigating the risk by asking the employee to submit the smartphone into a locker. No problem. But at the same very time, if the person is working from home, then naturally you do not have a control beyond a point. The person can easily take a remote and can work from home and can use his or her smartphone to steal some of the data. That is a risk you still have, right? There is also something called as an inherent risk which you may would also like to capture. For example, for any airline industry, the inherent risk is about risking the human lives or crashing of an airplane. How do they really mitigate the risk? Maybe the upkeep of the aircraft, maybe the training to the pilot and the crew member could be of help to minimize the risk. But there may be still a residual risk which the airline might have as a part of the risk document. Always document and always have a right document if you think that it was not captured before, if you think it was not highlighted before. Very, very important to have that. Finally, the outcome of the project is the end result of the project work and directly linked to the need of the client. You remember the deliverables which we have committed. And that's why defining the outcome is also very necessary right from the beginning. You have to give the picture to the customer, or you have to paint the picture towards the customer saying, this is what it is going to look like. Maybe if it is a pilot which you have expressed, and maybe if you have been taken an input accordingly, that's the methodology you may adopt depending on the size and the nature and the need of your project. And remember, every size may not one size may not fit all. So every project may have a different outcomes, different deliverables, different need, depending on its industry, depending on its nature, depending on the size, depending on the people involved, and so on and so forth. Some of the outcomes you generally monitor, and this becomes very tricky, especially when it is an IT project. Some of the project you do it as an part of technology enhancement, and you may not necessarily have any outcomes. For example, if you have your operating system going end of support from Microsoft or from Red Hat or from anywhere else, it is not any outcome or any benefit you may necessarily have in terms of numbers. It is a technology upgrade you have to do anyways. That should be captured accordingly. There are some projects, and why I say for IT it becomes tricky, because there are some projects for which you start getting the benefits after, say, 3 years or after 4 years, because there may not be an immediate need. For example, if you have deployed the intrusion prevention system today onto your environment and you kind of envisage that you would block X number of attacks, from the day one of the implementation, you're not going to stop all these the numbers which you have communicated to your senior leadership. As a cumulative period over 3 years, you may would like to showcase that, hey, this is what was committed and this is what is being delivered. And that's why the monitoring of the outcome specifically to the IT project is very important and also very critical. You really need a skill to demonstrate your outcome. If you're doing the project for the business, for example, you may be involved in, or you may be technically doing the project for supply chain. Now, that particular project benefits, you are going to get it right after the implementation. Why? Because you are now able to anticipate the need, you are now able to anticipate the stock in hand you have, and you are also now able to forcefully commit to your customer that, yes, this is what I am going to deliver. Remember, monitoring is not one time, as I mentioned during the start of this particular slides. It is indeed a continuous process. You are never done. And especially when there is a project outcome which is going to come after a few years, then naturally it is really an extended amount of monitoring which you have to do. Now, the frequency of the monitoring that you have to decide, depending on the bandwidth you have, depending on the nature you have, or depending on the need you have from the senior leadership. If the senior leadership demands that I need to have a weekly reviews, then you better have those weekly reviews or the dashboards or whichever way you want to communicate. Monitoring is a continuous process. You're never done until you're done. But at the same time, understand that the monitoring is also very tricky. You have to be realistic in nature. You have to understand the situation on ground. You may have to navigate your course accordingly. And that's why you have to also ensure that the quality of the project or overall outcome is not disturbed. Now, the responsibility of the monitoring should also be aligned with the project manager, aligned with the internal leadership team, that what is the frequency they want to monitor, how they want to monitor. They want to come on a call and take the situation or take a stock of the situation, whatever it is, right? And obviously the outcome or the finding after the monitoring exercise also needs to be communicated to all the concerned people. I'm sure you all know that monitoring is a very crucial part of the project life cycle. If you are really not monitoring the situation, then you may be ending up deviating your project timelines. I have seen the examples where the project manager going on leave and say for 2 weeks, and when he or she returns, I've seen the project going off track significantly. So that's why it's very, very important that you have the needle on the course always.